it's good to see everyone out this evening. Always good to come out to worship and study the Word of God. Again, always ask and encourage that everybody follow along throughout the Scriptures to make sure the truth is being taught as we go throughout our lesson. We're going to continue on a series of the mindset of why some have left the Church of Christ, why some give the excuse and reasons some may stay away from the church is that there's many who get caught up saying that we are a cult. And so therefore, with that mindset, they leave the church or that they stay away from the Church of Christ. You got a really good definition for a cult. As they let me know, maybe I'll use your definition. I have to sit there and take time to think about it. I'm defining what exactly that is, as it's been thrown out, and I know I've thrown it out, just maybe jokingly with others, and about some being in a cult or so forth, but just look it up, look at some definitions, find it online, Merriam's Dictionary, brings out a religion regarded as unorthodox or spurious. Great devotion to a person, an idea, an object, movement, or work, such as a film or book. So just from that definition, you could get caught up, again, even other definitions that I won't bring it out here in just a moment, on what some others have used. You could easily get caught up and just bring out a point that it's a religion that's following a leader, as it's bringing out, devoted to somebody, which we are devoted to, Lord, to Christ, to God, and we fully follow it. Looking up what other people have wrote on cults and trying to prepare for this lesson, I found one point, again, I'm fairly certain I've probably heard something similar to this, but a man had jokingly wrote that a cult was any group they simply didn't like. But that's how he defined it, a cult. And kind of jokingly, but at the same time, it's what a lot of people throw out. According to supposedly an expert on the subject, David Halperman, most cults are groups organized for the purpose of venerating an authoritarian, usually self-proclaimed leader. This leader claims to have a special relationship with God or with some other supernatural force, a relationship that imbues him or her with special power. So again, someone comes along claiming to know something more than other people do. And therefore, everybody has to go along with what that person does. And it's basically focused on this person. Another from a different source that I found, that just a few points here. It says, we alone know the truth of God, therefore we alone are the people of God. Or we alone have special message from God which no one else possesses. Our leader alone knows what is best for the group. We alone will be saved. Jesus will come for us alone because we alone are the people of God. We are persecuted because we alone have the truth. They also include signs based on doctrinal errors, such as denial of Jesus' deity or salvation through works. So these are some definitions that I have found, some descriptions of what a cult is. And when you take time to look at that again, you can see with other lessons that I believe I brought out on how they would try to point out and say that the Church of Christ is a cult. But I want to go through a few of these points this evening and point out what it is we do believe and see that it is not the where we stand as to the point of having a single leader that knows all, that is doing all, besides our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And so that's the first point I want to bring out this evening, is to point out our leader. You know, again, you think of a cult, you have a one person that everybody listens to, that claims to know everything else, that no one else is going to understand the new revelation in which that person has received. And that is not what we do here. That is not what we teach. In Ephesians chapter 1, verse 22, if you will. Ephesians chapter 1 and verse 22 says, "And he put all things under his feet and gave him to be head over all things to the church, which is his body, the fullness of him who fills all in all." And again, so our leader, our master, our high priest, as we talked about in the adult class this morning, our prophet, priest, and king, is Jesus Christ. In Matthew 28, verse 18, again, there it brings out that all authority has been given to me on heaven and on earth. All authority has been given to Christ. Under no other name are we going to be saved. There's no other source in which we are to build on top of. It is the Lord who is our chief cornerstone. We build up on top of Him. And so when we come down to that question, it is, does the Church of Christ follow what the teaching and the mindset of what a cult is? And the answer is no. Even within the local congregation, we can easily look at, as we took time to look at a few denominations, that they usually have the one leader pastor system. Whereas when we take time to look at congregations in the Church of Christ, that there are multiple elders, not just one elder, at least two or more, that take lead among the brethren. And in Titus chapter 1 and in verse 5, if you will, Titus chapter 1 and looking there and in verse 5, as we read here, it says, "For this reason I left you in Crete, that you should set order the things that are lacking and appoint elders." Again, every time we would take time to look at it talking about elders and establishing elders, or elders over a congregation, are they set down with the elders? It never goes to that singular term, but it's always more than one as we can look at it. And so he appointed elders in every city as he was commanded. And we see, I believe most congregations that I've ever talked to, they follow this example that we find in Acts chapter 6. In Acts chapter 6, where they had appointed some men to step up and fulfill some work. Again, I know we talked about it when we studied elders and deacons, and some do say they're deacons. I don't believe that you can quite go that far to say they are. But we see them fulfilling a work for the church, that there was a need that came up. Some widows were being neglected, and so they appointed these seven men to fill in this position so that the apostles could continue to go and proclaim the truth. And so Acts chapter 6, and looking there at verse 3, says, "Therefore, brethren, seek out from among you seven men of good reputation, full of Holy Spirit, wisdom, whom we may appoint over this business." This is an example we see of a congregation, of an area that chose men among themselves. And there wasn't one man going out and bringing them into a secluded area and taking away and everybody following that one person. But from the church, from the body of Christ, they chose from among them more than one man to step up and do this work. Of course, the same point as we talked about our elders, that we choose more than one man to help and do the work, to take the office of the elder or the pastor or bishop. And so we do not follow that pattern of a cult when it comes to those who lead us. One, we have one key, and that is Jesus Christ. And within the local congregation, we have multiple men who step up to lead us as the elders of the congregation. And then we come to a point of, what about our message? What about the word that we go forth and teach? Do we have a message that no one else has? Do we have a gospel that no one else can find or understand? Again, that is not so. That is not what we go forth and proclaim. That is not what we say. Now understand, we do say that there can't be any other gospel. But we don't say that no one else can have it, that no one else can understand it. In Galatians chapter 1, if you will, Galatians chapter 1, we don't want to deny that there isn't any other gospel, that this is the one and only way that we can be saved as the Lord has commanded. Galatians 1 verse 6 says, "I marvel that you are turning away so soon from him who called you in the grace of Christ to a different gospel, which is not another, but there are some who trouble you and want to pervert the gospel of Christ. But even if we or an angel from heaven preach any other gospel to you then what we have preached to you, let him be accursed. And so, again, there is only one gospel, yes. But it's not a special revelation that one person that I have, then I can only understand. It's something that we all have, that we all have the opportunity to understand, to go forth and spread it to all others, that it's there for everybody. In 2 Peter chapter 1, if you will, 2 Peter chapter 1, 2 Peter 1, and looking there at verse 19, again, the Word of God is for everybody. It says, and so we have the prophetic word, 2 Peter 1, verse 19. And so we have the prophetic word confirmed, which you do well to heed as light that shines in dark place, until the day dawns and the morning star rises in your heart. Knowing this verse, that no prophecy of Scripture is of any private interpretation. For prophecy never came by the will of man, but holy men of God spoke as they were moved by the Holy Spirit. And so again, the Word of God, the instructions, the commands that He has given to us, never came by any private interpretation. Now understand, it does go forth and bring out that what Jesus taught in parables, right? He taught in parables so that those who would hear do not hear, and those who see don't really see. And why? Because they didn't have the right heart. They didn't have the right mindset. When we go forth and we study Revelation, and it's written in that language where it's, you know, takes time to study and figure out what exactly he's talking about. Yes, it was written that way so that those of the Roman Empire, those who were not in the church, would not fully understand it at that time or point, because they didn't have the right mindset. They didn't have the right heart. But anyone who was willing to take time to study, anyone who was willing to take time and ask questions, that they can come to understand the truth, that they would see what it is God was trying to reveal unto them. And so the Word of God is there for all people. We simply have to be willing to put the time in. In James chapter 1, verse 5, if you will, James chapter 1, and looking there in verse 5, again, if any of you lacks wisdom, let him ask of God, who gives to all liberally and without reproach, and it will be given to him. Anyone who desires to know the truth, anyone who lacks the knowledge and wisdom of what to do in order to be saved, on what to do as they face temptation, on what to do as they continue in their life here on earth, ask God. It doesn't say the select few. It doesn't say the one and only chosen. But God has sent his word out into all the world, to all creatures, so that all could be saved. He desires all to come to repentance. So again, when we come to that point that you have to accept my message, no, we take time and reason with one another. We take time and study and look at these verses with one another. And we're not trying to deceive anyone. We're not trying to manipulate anyone, but simply showing them, right? We're not just saying, hey, you just got to put your trust in this one person. Listen to him. I mean, he sounds good. It sounds great. So therefore, it must be true. But rather, we show them. We say, open up your Bible. You got a Bible? Open up your Bible. You read it for yourself. See that it's not any different than what my Bible says. We search the Scriptures, right? We reason with one another. Isaiah 1 and verse 18. Isaiah chapter 1 and in verse 18, if you will. As it reads here, it says, come now, let us reason together, says the Lord. Though your sins are like scarlet, they shall be as white as snow. Though they are red like crimson, they shall be as wool. If you're willing and obedient, you shall eat the good of the land. But if you refuse and rebel, you shall be devoured by the sword. For the mouth of the Lord has spoken. Again, the Lord doesn't send it in any private wording here. But he sends out, he says, let us reason. Let us understand. Understand what I'm saying. I'm warning you and giving you the opportunity that if you obey and you do good, you will be blessed. But if you choose to refuse and be disobedient, then you'll be condemned. Again, this is what we do today is we open up the Bible. Says we search the Scriptures to know what is right and what is wrong. In 2 Timothy chapter 2 and in verse 15, 2 Timothy 2 and reading there, and in verse 15, it says here, be diligent to present yourselves approved to God, a worker who does not need to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. And so we're to be diligent in our studies to make sure we know right and wrong, and that we don't have to be ashamed as we correctly divide the word of truth, as we're able to stand and say, that does not line up with the word of God. That is not what that means. That does not contradict this over here. That we'll be able to teach the truth and stand for God and be able to confess our faith. We need to be like the Berean brethren in Acts chapter 17. In Acts 17, as the word came to them, we're all able to take time and search the scriptures. Acts 17, verse 11, as they have left Thessalonica because they have chased them off, not receiving the word of God, says, these were more fair-minded than those in Thessalonica, that in that they received the word with all readiness and searched the scriptures daily to find out whether these things were so. Again, the cult will tell you, you just have to listen to this one person. You just have to, you know, he knows better than everybody else. We're going to open up Bible. We're going to allow them to ask questions. We're going to ask questions, and we're going to reason with one another and actually study the words of God. So again, are we a cult? The answer continues to go along with no, that we're not a cult. We do not line up in that way. We do not go forward and just cut everybody off, right? It's another point that comes to my mind when I think about a cult, that they are in their own area. They are in their own place. They are cut off from the rest of the world, and they just simply send few to go and try to bring people into their area and never let them leave that area again until they're truly brainwashed to one man's teaching. We don't hide from the rest of the world. We all go forth and we leave this building. We have our separate homes. Some people have, everybody has some different jobs that they go to. Kids go to different schools in which they go to. You know, we don't hide from the world, nor does the Word of God tell us to. In 1 Corinthians chapter 5, again, we do see that the Word of God tells us to have church discipline. It tells us that when a brother in Christ falls away, that there are certain ways to treat one who's fallen away. There are certain ways to treat those who have never accepted or heard the truth yet. So 1 Corinthians 5, starting there in verse 9, I wrote to you in my epistle not to keep company with sexually immoral people. Yet I certainly did not mean with the sexually immoral people of the world, or with the covetous or extortioners or idolaters, since then you would need to go out of the world. You're saying if you really tried to do this, you couldn't. Because you have to go outside of the world. But now I have written to you not to keep company with anyone named a brother who is sexually immoral, or covetous, or an idolater, or a reveler, or a drunkard, or a extortioner, not even to eat with such a person. And so here again, it doesn't pause. He's writing to them. He went further in detail to make it clear. I'm not saying to neglect being around anyone that's in sin. Why? Because then you would have to completely separate yourself from the world. And that's not the task of Christians. That's not the task that God has given to us. Again, even in Jesus' prayer in John 17, if you will. In John chapter 17. John 17, I'm looking there in verse 14. Since I have given them your word, and the world has hated them because they are not of the world, just as I am not of the world. I do not, again, he says, I do not pray that you should take them out of the world, but that you should keep them from evil. I mean, Jesus knows that they're going to go through trials and persecution. Jesus has gone through so much already and does end up going through so much more. And so he prays for his disciples. He prays for us later on. And as he prays for them, he goes forth. He says, you know, I just want you to be with them and give them the strength not to give in to Satan. not to give in to the temptations, to keep them from the evil. And I don't ask that you just take them out of the world. Why? Because they have a task. As we talked about this morning, they have work that had to be done. They had to go and spread the word of God to all people, to go and teach, to baptize men and women into the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. They had a job that needed to be done. If they took them out of the world, if they separated them from everybody else, then that would not have happened. We would not have the truth today. We would not have the scriptures today if they just separated from the rest of the world. Simply pray that they had the strength that they need. Pray that they be safe, that they be wise and knowledgeable, and that God protect them as the men of the world. Again, it comes back to what we talked about this morning, that we need to be salty, that we need to be that light of the world. We can't do that if we separate ourselves from everybody else. We can't do that and go forth and shine God's light. Again, as you obey the gospel, as we choose to become Christians, you are put into Christ, and Christ is put into your heart. His light needs to shine forth. But if we are closed in our homes all day long, then who are you shining your light to? If you're separated from the rest of the world, who are you shining your light to? If we never go forth and speak to anyone else, and we don't go forth and let people know that we believe in Him, that we're willing to call on His name, we're willing to confess, and we're willing to say that we believe that Jesus Christ is Son of God, how are we doing? How are we doing what we're supposed to do? So these are just a few points to bring out, a few main points I believe that kind of stick out of my head on what cults get caught up into, what I think about when thinking of them, and that we don't line up in. We are the body of Christ. Individually, each member of that body to do the work of God, to go forward and continue to spread the good news. I don't want to leave without extending the Lord's invitation this evening. If you're here, you've obeyed the gospel, you need the prayers of the bread, we're here to pray for. We're here to assist one another as we can. James tells us to go forward and confess our trespasses to one another. So if we can assist you, let them know. We can study with you, let them know. If you're here and you have not obeyed the gospel, of course, we want to encourage you to do that, to make that choice, to become a child of God, by coming forward, confessing your faith, and being baptized, washing your sins away, putting those sins behind you, and repentance. We assist you, we let them know.